It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Yeagy, and I am glad you are here today. And I'm also glad our guest is here today. She stumbled into real estate by accident. I'm just going to read you her bio because it's really cool. After purchasing her first rental in 2002 and hitting a home run, then nearly losing it all on her second deal, she took control and figured out how to invest in real estate the right way. She realized that success must leave clues, and she studied and replicated the very personal finance and wealth creation strategies that the wealthy use to create financial freedom. That's what we do here, right? Prior to real estate, she earned a PhD in community health and nutrition, developed two solid health-related practices, and served as an epidemiologist for the CDC under the bioterrorism grant after 9/11. Today, she's the director of investor education at passiveincomeinvesting.com. Great URL, right? And a partner in an $800 million plus real estate firm, including over $6,500 residential units. But you know, rather than let me go over this incredible bio that she has, let's just let you hear from Whitney herself. So please help me welcome Whitney Elkins Hutton to the show. Hi, Whitney.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. This is really cool. Now, I know you cover a lot of types of investments, but what is it that drove you to start getting into this business, and what kind of investors do you help?
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, just to start off where I'm at today, I'm the director of investor education at passiveinvesting.com. And so, yeah, great URL, right?
Absolutely.
Anyways, not my brainchild for sure. But anyways, so what drove me to get into this space is that we hit a ceiling of achievement, or I did personally, in growing my personal real estate portfolio. So I started, you read my bio. I started off living, flipping, and house hacking in 2002, completely by accident, but I figured out, hey, you can make a lot of money this way. I can create a lot of value, and eventually I can buy my time back. But we scaled, my husband and I, we did that, then eventually decided we need to unlock our golden handcuffs and create cash flow. So we started holding some of these rentals, and we scaled to a portfolio of 30, and then hit another level of achievement where we felt like we just had another job. So we're like, how do we level up even further?
Yep.
And we figured out, well, let's do larger institutional assets, larger multifamily deals. I felt for sure that's where we needed to go. But do we do it actively or passively? And so we couldn't decide. So we did both. And so we got into active partnership on several deals. And then I also was taking all the income that I possibly could from all of our rentals, as well as our day jobs and in any other side businesses and side hustles I had going, and just investing into passive investing. And then we just continued to plow all that cash flow and capital we were, you know, acquiring back into these passive assets. And then we picked our head up one day. We're like, oh my gosh, we're financially free. Like, that happens so much faster than we thought it would. And anyways, you know, but the whole entire time I was just like, well, this is going to be like a 20, 30, 40 year road, like, you know, but I believe in it. And so I'm super passionate about helping people understand, one, how to set their goals, how to understand their risk tolerance and their timelines, and build their passive portfolio, you know, the best way that suits them, because, you know, there's not one size fits all solution here. And also, if you're going to make this pivot, how do you put yourself in the control seat for a passive investment, which I know sounds crazy, but there is touch points here that passive investors actually can control with these assets and making good decisions for themselves and put themselves in a, you know, on the best path to financial freedom.
I love it. And I'm going to ask you a loaded question here. Those listeners and watchers of my show know that I do this every once in a while, put people on the spot. But was it after you bought your first two Porsches and Ferraris and upgraded to a huge house that you got into passive income, or was it before all that?
Before, because I don't have the Porsches and Ferraris. You know, that is a great question, because that's why the path is so unique for everybody. Because, you know, one person might require $30,000 a month coming in passive income or more in order to be financially free. They want that. They desire that. That's what they want, are, you know, kind of the high ticket items. And then somebody else might only require $7,000 a month coming in passive income, yes, from all of their assets to be financially free. And so the path is very different for everybody.
It's just usually most people take a deferred gratification path like you did. You didn't go out and spend all the money before you had it, hoping you would get passive income, because at the end of that, you know the story, you end up with very little because you've spent all the money on buying high ticket items that depreciate and you don't have any money to put it into, you know, 30 doors and building a...
Absolutely. Right. Well, it's super funny that you say that, because we actually have our highest ticket item, aside from, you know, our homes, you know, that we live in. And every time I do this, my husband, I had to train him. He's about like 3 or 4 years behind in mindset from me, because he's learning, right? I'm the leading learner in the family. And so he wanted to buy a camper van. I'm like, figure out how to get it paid for. And he was like, what? And I'm like, yeah, figure out how to get it paid for. And he was like, I want a house in Northwest Arkansas, because he loves mountain biking. I'm like, figure out how to get it paid for and we'll get a house. And so that's where we took these skills from our real estate investments and really applied it to other areas in our life to build out more lifestyle assets.
I love the story. You remind me of Kim Kiyosaki, who's Robert Kiyosaki's wife. And when he was, you know, 20 years ago, he wanted to buy a Ferrari. And the story goes that he told her he wanted to buy a Ferrari. And she said, great, what asset are you going to buy that's going to be able to pay for that Ferrari? So very similar answer. Maybe you got it from her. Maybe she got it from you. I don't know. But that seems to be a similar path. That's really cool. Now, you believe in cash flow and appreciation. I have a program called the Cash Flow Machine. I believe cash flow is probably the most important, if not one of the most important things in investing. So let's talk a little bit about cash flow and appreciation through car washes, because I know that's another kind of investment you do. It's not all just multifamily for you, but now you have some diversified kind of businesses as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, you know, why did we as passiveinvesting.com get into car washes? Let's start there.
Yeah.
Well, for one, we wanted to offer a investment strategy for our investors, because, you know, with cap rates compressing in the multifamily space, cash flow getting thinner, we still saw investors chasing yield, and they were putting themselves in a pretty risky position with some of these assets. As we're going to see in the next 6, 8, 12 months, we're going to see kind of the fallout of that. Over the particular investments, challenged investments in the last 24 months. And we can go down that banking road later, but we decided to bring on Express Car Washes for a variety of reasons. But one, it's a cash intensive business. And the way we own the properties, the way we acquire the properties is we own the car wash, we own the land, we own the brand. And so it's direct ownership. There's no franchise opportunity. We're eliminating all those business risks that come with franchise. We're eliminating, if you're in the acquisition side of our strategy, we're even eliminating the development risk with that strategy. And then, we can still reap an immense amount of equity growth in that through layering on technology. There's so many different rabbit holes we can go down, but the reason why we got into the space is it's a $33 billion industry and growing at about, overall 4%. Now, the express car wash sector alone is growing at about double that, at about 8%. So we saw this unique opportunity to get in early on an industry that is very fractionalized in mom and pop ownership. So if I just remove the word car wash, most people start thinking about self-storage from 2006, 7, and 8. Fractionalized industry, mom and pop ownership, cash flow intensive, but very inefficiently run right now, and ripe for disruption. So we're in that same consolidation period with express car washes as we were with self-storage, several years ago, almost 15 years ago. Now, big money hasn't gotten in the space. Most people kind of scratch their heads and they're like, well, isn't Blackstone and the larger private equity groups going to get in the space? No, not for another 3, 4, 5, 7 years. And I'll tell you why. It's because there's no third party management. And so we've actually stepped in the space, started consolidating a lot of these mom and pop businesses and throughout the Southeast. We're scaling a portfolio of 250 to 300 locations. And we actually also, we own the land, own a brand. We also own the property management company. So it's vertically integrated. And so we're well positioned as we grow our portfolio through acquisition and development to either IPO that, or sell to a large private equity group, you know, a large REIT, large insurance company, because now we've solved that issue that sure. they don't want to do, which is manage car washes.
I love it. That's really great, because you find a problem, you solve the problem, and then you find a sub problem like the management of car washes, and you step in and solve that problem on a systemic basis, which is great. So now you can scale that through different places. I was just in Jacksonville over the weekend, and my buddy and his wife, we were all going to lunch, and it was like everywhere I turned on this one street, there was a car wash. Like, you couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting a car wash. And I was like, why are so many cars? Well, the car's dirty in Jacksonville. And it was just this one area. And he was like, oh, there's one over there. They're all over. And so I didn't even notice it. Now you mentioned, I'm like, wait a minute, there's something going on with the car wash business. And I think you see it. That's great.
Yeah. Well, and I think that brings up, you know, I think you've kind of alluded to what a lot of questions that investors have is this market getting oversaturated? Well, mm-hmm. if you think about it, you know, you take a look at gas stations. Take a look at oil change places, right? Car washes, it's not like a doctor's office, right? You know, you don't just have one car wash that you go to all the time. You might have one brand that you're loyal to, right?
Okay.
So you need to be in a good location with high traffic count. That is, you know, and then, you know, obviously set yourself apart, you know, in your business model. You know, maybe have a subscription agreement, you know, to where you make it super easy for somebody to visit your car wash on the east side of town and also the one on the west side of town.
That's great.
And the like. But, you know, really, we're in this infancy growth period of this. Now, here's the unique thing. As we move to electric vehicles, which is happening over time, maybe not in 5 years, maybe over the course of 20 years, electric vehicles still need to be washed. Gas stations and lubes, oil change places probably, you know, will start kind of thinning out. There's so many different, criteria and metrics that go into supporting the growth for this space. I mean, 72% of the Americans have cars. Majority of them, if asked if they want to wash their car in their driveway or at a car wash, they're going to choose an express car wash. Once that behavior is established, they wash their car about 13 times a year.
Wow.
And so, if you put them on a monthly recurring revenue model, they're getting amazing service. The investor is reaping the cash flow from that asset. And so there's just so many ways that we can, you know, not only provide value in the space, but make it a solid win-win strategy for the investor and the customer.
Help me out with something, Whitney. What's an express car wash? Is it one of those ones you get out of your car and you use the high pressure thing? Or is it one of those little drive-through things that has the brushes or the little things that sweep over your car? Or is it like where you have, it runs through and then you have a whole team of people descending on your car? Which one is it? Because I know there's different price points.
None of those.
None of them. Yeah. What is it?
Well, so you described, thank you very much, three of the four types of car wash.
Oh,
so
really?
That's right in between the in-bay automatic that you described and the full service car wash. So, let's describe them. The first type is a in-bay DIY car wash. You drive in kind of like a cement structure.
Yep.
You drop your coins in, scan your card, whatever. You got your brush and hose and you're doing all the work. Then you have your in-bay automatics, which are attached to gas stations. You drive your car in, but only like one car can get in at a time. So if you're two or three cars back, you're gone. You're going to go to other errands.
Yep, I leave.
Yeah, and then on the other side, you drive in, and then, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, you drive in, there's somebody ready to vacuum out your car, drive it through maybe a short 30, 40 foot tunnel. Maybe you can get two, three, four cars in that tunnel. And at the end, there's an army of people ready to wipe down your car. That's full service, very labor intensive model. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now in the express car wash sits right in between the in-bay automatic and the full service car wash. And depending on the level of subscription agreement that the customer engages in, they can get closer to the in-bay automatic or they can get closer to the full service, but all at one location, and they get to choose how they're going to engage in the service. So they might drive in, there's probably 30 or 40 vacuums. They can either vacuum the car themselves, they can pay somebody to vacuum the car, totally up to them. And then, and this is all in, included in the subscription agreement. And I'll tell you why that's important here in a second. And then they'll drive it to the backside of the property where it's probably like an 80 foot long tunnel, you know, multiple, you know, 10, 12 cars can get through there at a time. And that whole tunnel is handling pre-wash, wash, undercarriage wash, waxes, shine. And it's all based on the scanning of that subscription barcode. Sure.
Yeah.
And so it's all pre-programmed. And, you know, maybe somebody's subscription says they get a tire shine every 4 washes. Fantastic. The car wash knows that. Maybe it says they get a tire shine every wash. It knows that. The tunnel knows that. And at the end, it dries it, and then they're on their way. They can be in and out in about 5 minutes.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then there's other bells and whistles that they can engage in with their subscription agreement. Sense, maybe pet wash, which is my favorite thing. I have a dog. And so nothing worse than having a clean car and then putting a dirty dog in the car. So, but the subscription agreement, you know, getting, moving the facility from individual pay, which is what most mom and pop owners do with their express car washes. They have customers doing individual pay still. Moving that model to a monthly recurring revenue model, which is tech enabled and quite frankly, you know, a better customer service position for the customer. Not only can we, you know, close the gap, we can stabilize the income throughout the year. We can also close the gap in the income. We reap that it, you know, there's low operational efficiency, high margins. But an investor's next question usually is, well, what happens if somebody washes their car every single day on a subscription agreement? Doesn't that eat into the margins? Sure, but the average person that is on a subscription agreement only washes their car about 1.8 times a month. Hmm. Okay, so it costs 80 cents to a dollar to wash a car. And that's with water, electricity, chemicals. And so now you still have to maintain the building and also pay your 2 or 3 full-time employees on the property. But even then, you still have a hefty margin in between your normal subscription client and what you're bringing in from a cash flow perspective.
Fantastic. And then you're sitting on the real estate as well. So if real estate goes up on a high traffic street, you're sitting on the appreciation as well as the cash flow that you get from all the subscriptions along the Absolutely. Way. Brilliant. I love it. Brilliant. Thanks for bringing that up. I'm going to go out and buy like about 10 of them right now. That's so cool. All right. Let's talk about how the wealthy invest, because this is the Wealth Architect podcast. And we like to find out what kind of some of the hacks are for the wealthy people and how they invest, because we have a lot of those people listening and watching, frankly. And we have also people that want to become really wealthy. So what are some of the secrets of those 1% people? What are they doing? Hey, it's Mark Yeager here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more.
I think, you know, working backwards, you know, if we look at, you know, what, you know, the 1% are doing is that they are getting really good at their one thing that they can produce an immense amount of value at. And they focus there, and then they bring in a team around them to, you know, pick up all the added pieces. Now, how does that relate to investing? Well, unless you're Warren Buffett or Ray Dalio, that means you need to invest. If you're going to put that time and effort into making your one thing single family investing or your one thing multifamily investing, that means you need, in order to get diversification into other areas of your investing portfolio, you need to learn how to invest in other people. You need to learn how to vet operators, markets, and deals. You need to learn how to do that in order to scale yourself and scale your portfolio. And so, I mean, that might sound really oversimplified. A friend of mine, Ren Frazier at Aspen Funds, he's also the billion-dollar investor, I think, this is his podcast. Sorry, Ben, probably butchered that. Anyways, he has this great visual that a lot of people, when they're starting out, they are the ones themselves producing the value, right? And so they might get into stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, you know, because that's the only thing they know. And then as they learn, they get into taking back control into maybe like a real estate investment or a business investment. And they become like their small solopreneurs or a small business owner. And then they're like, wow, I need to diversify and amplify myself even more. And so they get into a larger asset. They get out of the single family space and small multifamily space, and they get into the larger assets. Then eventually you figure out, wow, I want my time back so I can do my one thing that lights me up on a daily basis where I love creating an impact in the world. Everything, I'm going to focus on that. Block out everything else, which means I need to go find those other people so I can invest in their businesses in order to, you know, amplify my wealth growth.
I love it. So it's simple, but like Einstein said, everything should be made as simple as possible, but no simpler. So it's really kind of a 2/3-step process where you focus on your thing, right? If you're a chef, the problem that happens with most people that become a chef, they're like, I want to start my own business. Now they become a chef and they're a business person. So they're working two jobs and they don't realize that. And then they just get burnt out. So you have to move to that next level, like you're saying, is you have to be able to leverage and delegate and grow and have a team around you and let other people do what they're really good at while you're trying to get really good at maybe operating this thing or doing really well at what you do at the same time. So it's a little bit of a balance and a little bit of a dance, but if you're going to scale, you can't just do it all yourself, I think is the real point.
Yeah, I read Dan Sullivan's book, Who Not How. And the first time I read it, I looked through the lens of like, how do I scale my own real estate portfolio, my own businesses?
Yeah.
And then eventually, like I went back to the book, you know, I was still struggling after 2 or 3 years. And I went back to the book. Somebody said, oh, I think you missed the point. Read it again. And I was like, wait a second. I was trying to figure out the magic pill to scale my businesses when I hadn't really oriented to what lights me up on the inside that only I can do and I can provide to the world.
Yeah.
And once I stepped into that, then that meant that I didn't need to be the one actually going out and finding the multifamily deal. And I didn't need to be the one like quarterbacking, like I am good at it. I can do it, but that's not what lit me up. So I think you learn more about yourself as you go up the rung, but two, there's always somebody out there that can do it so much better than you. If it's something that you're good at, but you don't love, there's somebody out there, I guarantee you, that can do it better than you.
And wants to do it. So exactly. Sometimes we don't want to delegate to somebody because like, oh, I hate doing taxes. Why would I want to make this person do my taxes? Because they love doing taxes, right? Like that's what makes the world go round, is we're all different. And so I don't like doing taxes. Let me find somebody that does. I don't like, you know, I don't know, whatever business it is, you can always find somebody that loves to do what you're doing. So you're doing them a favor, I think is the point. Mm-hmm. So that's great. Hey, listen, this is fun. You know, what I'm taking from this as a summary is cash flowing businesses and real estate is important. It leads to appreciation, which is important, but focusing on things are really the secrets of wealthy people. And then building a really crack team around you that everybody's happy because they're all doing what they're supposed to be doing, what their purpose is in life. And that all leads to that secret to wealth. Am I pretty close in that?
And it sounds right on the mark to me.
Good. I love it. Where can people find out a little bit more about you, Whitney? How can they get more Whitney Elkins Hutton? You know, this is good stuff. And you're a real inspiration. So
oh,
where can
thank
they,
you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're interested in learning more about what we do at passiveinvesting.com, you know, feel free to reach out to me at passiveinvestingwithwhitney.com. It's a subpage on the passiveinvesting.com website. It's the only place that you can get my free ebook passive investing made simple, and also get see my calendar and we can talk all things real estate. And if you're a new investor kind of starting off on this journey, you can find me at ashwealth.com.
What was that again? The last one?
Ashwealth, ashwealth.com.
Ashwealth.com. All right, everybody. Now you have your marching orders. There's a bunch of stuff that Whitney has that you can get. First of all, she's got a really easy to remember website, passiveinvesting.com. She's given a couple other ones in there. Thank you so much, Whitney. I really appreciate your time, your knowledge, and your inspiration on helping the listeners and viewers of the podcast go to the next level and figure out how to create cash flowing and appreciating assets.
Oh, my pleasure, Mark. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, I hope to see you soon. And by the way, those of you that are listening and watching, remember what I always say, never give up your power in your health, your wealth, or your time. Have a great day, everybody. See you next time. Take care. You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.